Psalm 131, please. Psalm 131. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters, or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of her mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope, or let Israel trust in the Lord from henceforth and forevermore. The words of a king. The greatest king that Israel had. Saul was the people's choice. David was God's choice. God says, I gave you a king in my anger. I took him away in my wrath. Israel wanted a king to be like the other nations. Dangerous, isn't it? They looked around and they saw the nations, and they had their leaders and they had their kings. And they forgot all about God. And they cried for a king. And God gave them what they wanted. And you know as well as I do that sometimes God gives us what we ask for. And it's not good for us. I thank God tonight for prayer that I have made that He has never answered. Give us a king that we might be like the nations round about. They forgot they were a separate people. Psalm 131 is a psalm of humility. Psalm 130 is a psalm of forgiveness. Out of the depth have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. Here's a man in distress, crying to his God. Can I quote John Douglas again? If David's heart had ne'er been wrung, David's psalms would ne'er been sung. Can I quote him again? The psalmist sang the sweetest when his pen was dipped the deepest in the ink of God's affliction. That's Psalm 130. Lord, hear my supplications. Hunted like a partridge on the hill, enemies all around him. What does he do? He cries to his God. I says, but there is forgiveness with thee. I am convinced that the finger was pointed at David until the day he died. But he looks up into heaven where there is a God that has forgiven them. He says, there is forgiveness with thee. Aren't you thankful tonight There's forgiveness with God. But for his mercy, we would have been consumed. And remember, brethren, we're no better than the man in the street. No better than the man in the gutter. But for the grace of God, there go we. And here's a man, almost at the end of life's journey, and he's crying to God. Notice how he starts his psalm. He says, Lord, Lord. Notice he's speaking from the heart. My heart, my heart. He's speaking to the God of high heaven who knows his heart. There's no camouflage. There's nowhere to hide. Brethren, I wish again I could grasp that. God knows our every motive. The very hairs of our head are numbered. And he knows all about us. And David, out of a true heart, says, Lord, my heart is not haughty. It's as if he's saying, Lord, you know my heart. I remember what his brethren said about him. We know the haughtiness of your heart. With whom have you left those few sheep? The greatest shepherd ever was in Israel, accused of having a few sheep. We know you've come down to see the battle. And there they accuse him and they accuse him. Remember Saul? This man is a man of war from his youth. And you're but a youth. Thou art not able. And they never knew the wide experience that this man had alone with his God. And brethren, that's what counts. There's a man up there that's looking down continually, and he knows their every move. And he knows their heart. And he knows all about the sham. David says, my heart is not haughty. Lord, you know there's no pride in here. And I want you to remember, it's a king that's saying this. It's a man of wealth that's saying this. It's a man that's on the throne in his rightful place. Lord, my heart is not haughty. I think of him as a boy down by the brook, alone, but I'm sure alone with God. I think of his experience. You know, brethren, we would never have known about them. If Saul had never said he wasn't able, and the task that was before him, he wasn't able for it. And only then does he tell us. Now, he says, there a day when I was watching my father's sheep, and a lion came. What would you have done? I tell you, I'd have been off. But these sheep belonged to his father. And that made all the difference. It wasn't so much the value of the sheep. It was who the sheep belonged to. And he went there and he slew the lion. Remember the men that slew lions? Samson slew a lion. David slew a lion. But these men were only fit to slay the lion because God was with them. And you and I, we have a lion in our life and we're no match for him. And I tell you, brethren, he'll catch us and he'll get us. Unless we're like David and keep in touch with God. And David said a bear came. I don't know much about bears. But I know this, if they get a hold of you, they're big enough, they'll squeeze the life out of you. And brethren, we have an enemy. And he's all out to squeeze the life out of us. Anything that's for God, he hates it. And you and I as Christians, I want to tell you, he hates us. He's no time for us. And David had those experiences with God. And he remembers nights when he lay under the canopy of heaven. And he looked up into the stars. And he appreciated the wonders of God. And he saw the stars and he only had the naked eye. And he appreciated the God that made the stars. See, men in our day, the bigger and the more modern the telescope they get, the more they see. And they tell us there's millions and there's millions and there's millions. You know what the Bible says? You know what God said? He made the stars also. As if it were an afterthought. And David's looking up into the starry heaven. And he's thinking on the greatness of his God. You know what he says? What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou shouldest visit him? And it's a man like this, who has his heart bare before God, who says, Lord, my heart is not haughty. Then notice it goes to the eyes. Nor mine eyes lofty. See, what the heart goes after, the eyes look upon. And brethren, there's two parts that we must be very careful with. What we see. Remember the little chorus we learned so many years ago? Be careful, little eyes, what you see. There's a Saviour up above looking down in tender love. He knows what I look at. Character will be seen in a man that's alone. When there's no one around. And I tell you, if we're not conscious that God is looking upon us, it'll be disaster. Many a man I know who we once rubbed shoulders with, we stood together, and they're no longer in the fellowship today. What they saw. My young man, my young sister, be careful with your eyes. His eyes and his heart. What the eyes desires, and what the heart desires, the eyes go after. You know, he could have looked to the throne, but the throne was his. Remember the day when he was anointed? God spoke to Samuel, the seer. I've forsaken Saul. Get down to Bethlehem. Listen, will you? was chosen a king. He's a man after my own heart. Now remember, God knew the heart of David. And God knew how he would wander and how he would stray. And God knew all about his sin. And here's language in the Bible that we just don't understand. A man after my own heart. And remember, Samuel goes down to that house at Bethany. Remember Saul, remember Jesse's sons coming before Samuel. Everyone represented the son of a king. Their stature, their build. And as Samuel looks upon them, he says, "This is surely the Lord's anointed." Samuel had a lot to learn, you know. God looks in the inwards. Man looks in the outwards. And what Samuel saw in Jesse's sons, there wasn't one of them fit to sit on the throne. Listen to his words. "I hear all thy sons." No. There's one, and he's not here. There's one, and he doesn't even count. When the sons come up to the house, they never dreamt they would need a man like David. They despised him. They disdained him. Have you ever noticed? Men that are despised are men that God takes up. Men that God can use. I tell you, he'll never use a proud man. We have that today. The proudest man I knew was a man who was always ministering pride. Where is he? He's watching sheep. He's under the canopy of heaven with God. There's no one else around. He's alone with his God. Young man, let me give you a little bit of advice. Spend a lot of time with God. One of the godliest men ever I met him last year. And the sad thing is, brother, he didn't meet with us. I was up in the Shetlands. And somebody told me to go along and meet this Reverend Bonnie McLeod. And I went along. And he started to tell me about the 1950 revival. I sat there spellbound. I realized I was sitting with a man of God. So much so that when I was leaving, I said to him, "Donnie, I'd like to hear you praying." And I'll never forget it. There was a man who was in touch with God. So much so that when he was praying, I had to open my eyes to see the man. And there he was, with priestly hands uplifted. His language was like the language of heaven. And he took us right into the very presence of God. A man that knew God. That was David. Alone with God. I don't know what he thought when his brother he came from him. "You have to come home, David. Samuel's up. He's wanting to see you." And the moment he walked in the door, a voice from heaven. "This is him. Arise and anoint him." If I remember right, he was anointed 3 times. But I'm thinking on that first anointing. Do you remember what he was anointed with? Saul was anointed with a vial of oil. That's handmade. That doesn't hold very much. Abbot David was anointed with a horn of oil. Death had taken place. And there they poured the oil upon him. God's anointed. He was anointed by Judah. And he was anointed by Israel. I says, I don't exercise myself in great matters. Now that he's been anointed, brethren, he will sit on the throne. But there's a number of years before him, before he sits on the throne. He's still going to run messages. He's still going to do menial tasks. And there's a man in the country and he hates him. He can't stick him. Known as Saul. And Saul will fling javelins at him. But he who has been anointed must reach the throne. Brethren, it's an encouragement for you and I today. No matter the pressures of life or no matter what happens in life, as we heard in the ministry this afternoon, we'll walk the golden street. We'll go through the pearly gates. We'll go down by the river that's as clear as crystal. And we'll be with the multitude on high. Why? There's a day when we come to Christ and our sins were all taken away. And now he's anointed and the throne he will reach. He says, my soul is as a weaned child. A child that has been weaned from its mother's. His diet had been changed. He had changed his food. I wonder today, has our diet changed? Or do we still long after the things that we used to long after? You remember the diet that the children of Israel had down in Egypt? They had six fruits, you know. And six is man's number. They remember the fish. And the leeks. And the cucumber. And the garlic. The onions. And the melons. But you know, when they come into the land, they were given seven fruits. And seven is God's number. And what I want to say today is this. God has food for us. And it's different from the food of Egypt. You remember Daniel? Remember what they fed him on? Remember their surprise? My brethren, we've been encouraged today. Here's the food that's for us. And God's table is full. And he wants to bless us and he wants to give us. Ah, says David, my soul is as a weaned child, even as a child that is weaned of its mother. No longer longing for the things that he used to enjoy. Time is gone. Surely I have behaved myself as a child that is weaned. Let Israel trust in the Lord. Where was David's trust? His trust was in God. David never forgot till his dying day that he was the son of Jesse. When you come to 2 Samuel 23 and you read his last words, he says this. These be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse. Young brother, young sister, never forget your father's house. Never forget the father and mother that brought you up. I look back tonight with joy to a godly father and a godly mother who put up with me and loved me and cared for me. And when I would wander away, I hear their prayers yet as they pray for me to bring us back. David, he could have said, David the prophet, for he was a prophet. And you might not agree with me, but I think he could have said David the priest. I know he wasn't of the tribe of Levi, but the war of the ephod. And he could have said David the king. No, he says David, the son of Jesse. May God bless his word.
$159.